are doing a kind of curious offshoot of intellectual property, taking someone's photograph without permission. There is not a whole lot of literature on this topic. I've pretty much assigned everything available on the topic, everything that I could come up with after considerable digging around. There are basically three tshuvas that everyone quotes: the Salmas Chaim, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Betzel HaChachma, or Rabbi Betzel Stern, the brother of the Be'er Moshe, the Debertziner, and the third is Rabbi Menashe Klein in his Mishnah Halachas, and a couple of other later, more minor references. So there are going to be two or three main issues involved. One is an issue completely unrelated to intellectual property, a Kabbalistic, mystical idea that taking pictures can do something bad, Ruach Tumah. I talked to a friend of mine this morning. He says he once took his child to, I think it was Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, and he took a picture and he saw that Rabbi Hillel flinched when he did it. He didn't say anything, but he wasn't sure what that was all about. When I told him this, he kind of understood what was going on. The Mukubalim sometimes have issues with pictures. That's one issue, a kind of hezek, or a kind of doing something bad. We're focusing on the other issues, which are, does a person have some kind of just right to his own image and right to block people from taking pictures? And B, do people have the right to profit from other people's pictures? If you're a reporter, you're going to put it in a magazine, you're going to sell it on Gedolim cards, or like the video games we were talking about, do people have the right to benefit to receive the revenues from pictures of themselves? As I said, there isn't a lot about this. We'll pretty much see what there is available on this week. I want to focus tonight on one particular issue which comes up in the tshuva of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. That is the issue of osis schara parasa shel chavero, literally doing business with someone else's cow. This is a favorite principle of my father. He always brings this up. It's kind of a picturesque version of saying zelo fair. This is not fair. How can you benefit? We've been learning about midas tom, about related things, about nana and chaser, but this is another Talmudic formulation of the idea of zelo fair. It's not fair. How can you get revenue from property that belongs to me? The problem is, though, the source of this is a Mishnah and a Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's a highly technical case. The way it's applied by the poskim, it's far from clear the principle even exists, let alone what the parameters are. Poskim often toss it around in all kinds of contexts. It's far from clear that there is actually such a principle and what it actually means. Let's first consider just several of the cases where this pops up in halacha, other areas. One case, this actually came up on a test I gave to my second Seder guys. I asked them the following question. This was taken from the Sefer Kisses LeBeis David. I think it's an actual case. Reuven worked for a taxi company. He was a black car driver, a limousine driver. He was going to be away, so he needed to arrange a substitute for his routes, for his assignments. So he told Shimon, he said, look, I'm not out to make profit off you. I'm not out to, all I want is you to cover me. I'll give you whatever I make. I typically get $30 for this route or for an hour of driving or whatever the metric is. I get $30. I'm not trying to make profit. I'm giving you exactly what I'm getting. You drive for me for the 2 weeks I'm out or whatever it is, and you'll get the $30 that I would get. So Shimon went along, drove his route, took his fares for 2 weeks. As it turned out, the boss of the car service company, at the beginning of or middle of those 2 weeks, raised the amount he was paying his employees from $30 to $40. So the question arose at the end of the 2 weeks, who's entitled to that extra $10? So I posed this question on the test, and my guys split. I had two very different sets of answers here. Well, there were only three of them, but I got two. There were two completely different answers. One answer, which was Kisses LeBeis David's answer, basically, was simply a careful reading of the language. You said 30, and you said whatever I'm getting. So which is the ikker? Is the ikker 30, or is the ikker whatever I'm getting? If you focus on whatever I'm getting, then it goes up to 40. If you focus on 30, then he gets 30. That was one answer. That was what the Rabbi David Schmel, the author of Kisses LeBeis David, that's what he wanted. The other faction.
Which way did he answer that?
What? That's a tactical question. That's a Talia Machlokes and Sivas and the Shach and the whole channel. That kind of channel has to do with which Lashon, depending on exactly how they said it, which Lashon is the Iker. That's a different topic. But the other answer said short circuited the whole process, and they said, "Ketan halah osis chara prasa shel chaveru." How can we possibly allow this driver who wasn't working, Reuven, the original driver, to pocket an extra $10. When Shimon's driving, Shimon's driving. Fares are being paid on behalf of Shimon's driving. How is it fair that Reuven should get that money? And the source they had for that argument is a din of the Ramah, the Rishon, Remeir Halevi Abu Lafia. He's going on a case which we touched on way back earlier in the winter. He's going on a case where, well, a little bit of a complicated case, Reuven hires Shimon, an agent, to go find him workers. Let's say Levi's the worker. Reuven tells Shimon, offer them three. Shimon goes ahead, talks to Levi, doesn't say anything about Reuven, tells him, I'm going to pay you, I'll be responsible for paying you, I'm going to pay you four. Why he did that, I don't know, but he offered them four. So the halacha is, Reuven's only on the hook for three. The workers are entitled to four because they were promised four, and this guy in the middle, this foreman, this agent, has to make up the missing dinar. Fine, so he has to eat the missing dinar out of his pocket. Now, what if the work was actually worth more than three? It was worth three and a half, let's say, or up to four. Then the foreman can go back to the Baal Bayis and say, look, I know you told me three, but they're charging me four because I promised them four, and the work is worth four, it's worth three and a half, it's worth four, so pay me, mi dinana, pay me whatever the work is actually worth. The work is worth three and a half, he collects three and a half. It's worth four, he collects four. What if the work is actually worth five? So Reuven offered three, Shimon told Levi, I'll give you four, and the work is actually worth five. Can Shimon go back to the Baal Bayis and say, you give me five because the work is worth five, I only promised them four, and I'm going to walk off with an additional zuz? The answer is no. We paskin like the Ramah. The answer is no. The Ramah says that would be called osis chara prasa shel chavero. This foreman is siphoning off a dinar, that's payment for work that was done by, not by him, by the workers. So if the money is being paid, it's going to go to the workers, or it's not going to be paid at all, or it's going to be paid to the workers, it's not going to be paid to him. He has no right. In that case, it's not going to be paid at all. It's not going to go to the workers because they agreed to accept four. It's not going to go to him because that would be called schora b'parasa shel chavero. So that's what the Ramah says. The Ramah introduces this principle. You can't take money. You can't just walk off with money that's being paid for someone else's work. That is not fair. That's called osis schora b'parasa shel chavero. This din comes up again in another din, actually, also of the Ramah. Let's say Reuven steals property and steals a car. Then he rents out that car to Shimon. Shimon is an innocent guy. Shimon doesn't know it's not Reuven's. As far as Shimon knows, it's Reuven's car. Reuven rents out the stolen car to Shimon. And then Shimon has the rent. He's about to pay. Police catch up with Reuven, and we find out the car was stolen. So who's entitled to that rent? Does it go back to the owner, or does it go to the Ganav? The Ganav is the one who offered it for rent. So the Ramah says it goes to the owner. And the Ramah appears in two versions. We have a version in the Tur and a version in the Shita Mekubetzes. The Tur is somewhat terse, doesn't explain why exactly. The Darkei Moshe explains the reason for the Ramah's din, the reason the money is not kept by the Ganav and goes back to the owner. After all, the Beis Yosef doesn't understand the Ramah. The Beis Yosef asks, there's a famous halacha, which we may have touched on earlier, Kol HaGazlana Meshalmin Kishas HaGzela. Had the Ganav himself taken the car and driven it for 6 months before they caught him, he wouldn't owe a penny for all his driving. As long as the car is in good condition, he gives it back to the owner. The halacha is any benefit a Ganav has from the property, he keeps. Kol HaGazlana Meshalmin Kishas HaGzela. You simply pay, either return the property or pay whatever it was worth, assessed value at the time of the Ganeva, and you don't pay for any hana that you had in the interim. Karka is different because Karka ain't an Exelas, but Metalkalin, which are Nigzalin, you pay whatever it was worth at the time of the Gzela, and you are not required to make restitution for all the hana you had during the period of the Gneva. So why would rental be different? If you used it yourself, you don't pay anything for it. If you rented it out, that money reverts to the owner. Why? So the Ramah, the Darkei Moshe, says the reason is because ein hala osis chara prasa shel chavero. You're not entitled to make money using someone else's cow. You used it yourself, fine. But if you're going to take money that's being paid by a third party for property that's not yours, who are you? It's not your cow. You didn't do anything. You're just taking money unfairly just because you're a wheeler and dealer. That's not fair. The zelo fair. Ein halos tzchara prasa shel chavero. There is another pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah himself, if you look in the Yad Ramah, and the Shita, the way the Shita brings the Ramah, seems to have a different hesber. But this is the pshat of the Darkei Moshe brought by other achronim. This, I guess, the Ramah sort of l'shita say, if you hold like this, if you interpret the Ramah this way, this is another example of the rule of Ketz halos tzchara prasa shel chavero. A third and fourth example of the principle come up in two related discussions of the Achronim. In the 19th century, we have an explosion of tshuvas of achronim dealing with cases involving different situations of insurance. So we have two kind of related parallel discussions. One of them is, if Reuven damages Shimon's property, and the property was insured, let's say Reuven burns down Shimon's house, Shimon had fire insurance. Reuven crashes Shimon's car, Shimon has comprehensive, you know, whatever, collision, whatever the relevant insurance is. So Shimon tells Reuven, you're a mazik, pay me. Reuven says, why? You're not losing anything, insurance is covering it. And why should you collect twice? You're gonna collect from the insurance anyway, I should give you extra money. I'll pay the law, Reuven would have to turn over any money he gets to the insurer. He wouldn't be allowed to keep the money twice. But the question is, does Shimon have a taina against Reuven for hezek, or can Reuven say, look, you're being made whole by the insurer. What do you want from me? So it's machlok sachronim. The Marsham argues very strongly that Shimon still has the right to be tever Reuven, even though he is insured. And he brings the Gemara, this machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. The principle of Ketzel HaSachar Prasa Shel Chaveiro comes up in the Gemara in a case where, as you'll see on the sheets, where Reuven rented a cow and then lent it to somebody else, the cow died. A Shoel HaSachayev for Misa Selcher is not. So the Rabbanan say, okay, the Shoel pays the Selcher because he's a Shoel. The Selcher doesn't pay the owner because he's a Selcher. And the middle guy keeps it. Why not? And Rabbi Yossi says, no, Ketzelos is Chara Prasa Shel Chaveiro. The middle guy, it's not fair, the middle guy can't profit off the par that belongs to somebody else. So the Marsham compares the Nizik to the middle guy. He compares the insurance as the one who's paying out. He compares the owner to the guy in the middle. He's going to get paid twice. He's going to come out making a profit. And he says, even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it's not fair, that he can't be Oskar Prasa Shel Chaveiro, he basically turns the rule on its head. He says that's for a technical reason, which hopefully we'll discuss in a moment. He says, but in general, there's no rule that says you can't make profit off somebody else. He seems to basically deny, based on Tosis' explanation of the Mishnah, deny there's any such rule of Asiya Oskar Prasa Shel Chaveiro. He says, no problem, nothing wrong with somebody making extra money. And the Mishnah he explains differently for a reason we'll get to in a minute. The Ar Sameach has a tshuva discussing a different case of insurance. He discusses a case where a tenant took out insurance on property that wasn't his, either a tenant on a house belonging to the landlord, or other posts can discuss down the case where I insured property that doesn't belong to me. Who gets the payout? The person who paid the premiums or the person who owns the property? The Ar Sameach says it would seem to be totally on the machlokes of Yossi and the Rabbanan. If I manage to finagle money based on your property, do you say, he compares the guy paying the premiums to the selcher. He says the selcher made a sheila. In exchange for that sheila, he wants to collect the payout now. The selcher paid the premiums. In exchange for the premiums, he wants to now walk away with the compensation for the thing that wasn't even his. The Arsamach says it could be it's different. It could be, he says, that very logical story. He says because you're paying the premium expressly for the point of getting the payout, it makes sense that you should get it. But otherwise, in the case of the shoel, you weren't lending it as a gamble to hope to get paid for. You're lending it out because you're doing him a favor. Maybe that's different. But in general, he wants to medama to this principle of ketzelos eschara prasa shel chaveiro. So just finally, to return to the question of what is the makar of this principle and what does it mean? So again, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says the selcher rented the cow, lent it to the shoel, and then it died. So the Chum say, why shouldn't he keep it? The Shoel pays him because he's a Shoel. Selcher keeps it because the Selcher doesn't pay. And the Chum, the Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not fair. Ketzel Schar Prasa Shel Chaveiro. And we pass him like Rabbi Yossi. And that's where the poskim who do apply Schar Prasa Shel Chaveiro in other places, the Ramah, those other cases, the Rosh Chaim Zonnefeld, and discusses it with his correspondent, they're all coming from the din of Rabbi Yossi. That there's a din of Zelo Fair, of Ein Halotz Schar Prasa Shel Chaveiro. What does that actually mean? So it turns out that there are at least three shitas in the Rishonim for what the rule of doing Schara Prasa Shel Chaveiro is. One shot, which Tosis rejects, is that it means that when the Shoel pays the Selcher, we look at that money, that compensation, as if that is the cow. The cow is dead, but the cow's value has been transferred over into this cash payout. So just like the owner owned the cow, so now that the compensation was paid for the cow, that money replaces the cow. So the owner owes that money. If that's the pshat, it has nothing really to do with all these other cases. the pshat is, since I own the cow, I own its compensation too. But that seems to be a fairly limited svara, limited to the laws of Shomrim. And Nizakin doesn't seem to have that much broad applicability. The second sheet of Tosis, which is the one the Marsham is working with, is that it's true that if the Selcher deals with the Shoel, he's going to win. But based on the Gemara, he says the masker can cut out, the masker, the original owner, can cut out the guy in the middle. He can say, it's my cow, even though he lent it to you, I want to just push him out of the picture, pretend I lent it to you, basically, and I want to be tevei you directly. I don't want to let him be the Baal Din, I want to just shove him out of the way. I want to be tevei you directly, so I'm the one being tevei you. So Mela, it's as if I lent the cow to you directly, and that's why I get it. So again, it's not some kind of general svara that it's not fair that you can't do svara process shel chavero. It's just a pshat that I become the masker. I become the masker directly. And that's why the Marsham says in his case, everyone really agrees to the Rabbanan that there's nothing wrong with pocketing extra money and making a profit. It's only a din of the Mishnah that if I become the masker, I can kick the selcher out of the picture. And Meili says in his case of insurance, the guy who wants to collect can say, look, the fact that I'm collecting twice, I'm getting extra money from you and I'm getting from insurance, what's that your business? I'm allowed to make extra profit. The Mishnah is a Zaytik Adin. The Mishnah is a din that the Socher, the middleman, can be pushed away by the masker, and the masker can be Taveh, the Socher, directly. But otherwise, there's nothing wrong with making extra profit. So again, the Marsham is really going with Tosfos, denying that there's a general principle that it's not fair for you to make money on someone else's back. Nothing wrong with making money off somebody else. There's a third sheet in the Rishonim. Tosfos Shantz in the Shita says this. I saw one of the Achronim claims most Rishonim go like this. I'm not sure which are most Rishonim. He says, again, the Pshat of the Mishnah is that when the Socher, when the middleman lent out the cow, we look at him as a shliach of the owner. It's as if, again, it's as if the owner himself became the masker. Again, that seems to be a svar in Hilchos Shomrim. It's far from clear to me why this would be a generally applicable principle if you can't do svar process shel chavero. But nevertheless, we do find, like in those examples of the Raman here, we do find the poskim often run around Choshen Mishpat throwing out this principle that it's not fair, you can't do svar process shel chavero, and that's one of the concerns Yerushalayim Chaim Zonnefeld deals with for why the celebrity subject of your photograph has a right to object to your gaining revenue off his image and not turning it over to him.